All right, guys, welcome to Deborah Gets Red Pilled, episode 30. It's a milestone. Dirty 30. Yeah. How's it going today?
Today's going good.
It's Sunday. What is it? Sunday
the 7th. February 7th. Episode 30. Wow.
I think it's my sister's birthday today. I got
to call her. Uh-oh. You better.
Yeah.
You want to call her right now?
No. She works for YouTube. She might try to get us shut down. I wonder if someday if we get our if we get our channel canceled, if I can appeal to her and she'll get it reinstated because we're white nationalists.
And just because we're pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, so what'd you get up to? Same stuff?
Same stuff. I'm so boring.
Yeah, but you got to go work out on Friday. Monday, yeah, Wednesday, Friday. You get to do your
boot camp
in the park.
Boot camp in the park.
That's pretty fun.
Bunch of other old babes like me.
Is it babes. Taught by a really attractive, muscular black guy?
No, it's all women.
Oh, okay.
This is a fit club for women.
Yeah.
And there was a male trainer at one time, but he's no longer there. So yeah. But there are, yeah, all the trainers are young and fit and fabulous and gorgeous and strong and
yeah.
And then there's me and the others like me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know what you guys know what I did yesterday.
I know what you did yesterday.
I got rid of all my meat chickens.
The Grim Reaper.
Yeah, we killed 10 birds yesterday. It was a long day. We had 3 people, including me. So we had me, we had Emily, my wife, and we had our other friend Coulter came over, and we were all beginners. So I watched a bunch of YouTube. I watched a couple videos with the guy that came and helped before we did it. And, you know, we figured it out. First one was a little bit rough to do. But
was that, did you do Duncan first?
Yeah, we did Duncan Limp first. He was the one that had a bum leg, 2 bum legs. We should have probably got rid of him when he was a little baby. But, yeah, Emily said that she wanted to name him Duncan, and I said, well, he's got a limp, so let's call him Duncan Limp instead of Duncan Lemp, in honor of the, you know, innocent guy who was murdered by the police last year. So, yeah, we killed them all, butchered them, put them in shrink wrap bags, and I just checked. I put them in the freezer in the garage. They're all frozen. I was worried about whether they were going to there's people that say if you don't put them in the freezer, right, if you put too many in, if you like stack them on each other, it'll thaw out the freezer.
Oh, yeah, because they still have their body heat.
Yeah, so I took all the, we had a bunch of beef in there because we have half a cow too. So I took all the beef out and then put the chickens down on the very bottom in like a single layer and then put all the frozen beef on top of it. And it's worked great.
Yeah.
So I'm going to cook one tonight on the pellet grill.
Oh my gosh.
They're monsters. There's one of them that weighed 9 pounds.
That's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's more than my little dog weighs.
I know. It's twice as much as our little dog. And then it was weird. It's great. The one was 4 pounds. And then the biggest, there's a couple like 8.5 pounders and a 9 pounder. So we got 68 pounds of meat out of 10 chickens, which is pretty cool. I ordered 15 more today.
So oh, you're, are you going to, when are they coming?
April.
Okay.
I'm only going to do it in warm weather now.
Yeah, so that's what I was have them in the wondering.
House so we can graze them on the grass.
Uh-huh. Free range.
Yeah.
Free range birds.
But everybody, you can do it if you got a backyard. I got a backyard that's 1/8 of an acre, and I did it. I got 7 egg-laying birds, and I had 10 meat birds, and I'm going to have 15 this time. You can make it happen. So, yeah, that's what we did. And
that's so great.
Yeah.
And the plucker worked well.
Yeah, it worked okay. It didn't do as good of a job as I thought it would. It wasn't like as magical as I thought it would. I think it was just because they were so, some of them were so big that it bogged it down. But yeah, so we got some emails. Our friend Vanessa, who's the mail carrier by where I live, she texted or messaged us and just to check in, and she wanted to know about our Freedom Cells meetup. She didn't make it though. She had to work. And then let's see. We got an email from Charles or Anthony from the Bay Area, who had emailed us before and given us some donations. He sent us a email that he was really happy with the Legal Man episode. He really enjoyed it. And then somebody named Philip sent us a email, and he just said he likes the show, and he wanted to make it clear that he thought that Donald Trump was intentionally placed as president to sow division. And I pretty much agree with what he said. And then on Wednesday night, I went on to the Ripple Effect, had their 300th podcast. So Ricky let fans, Patreon fan supporters come on. So I stopped in for about an hour on that, and it was pretty cool. He talked to us about the show, and he asked about you, and he said how much he liked it. We talked about our episode.
That's so great of him.
Yeah.
On his, and then, it's just great.
There's this guy named Matt that was on the first one, and then he was also on this episode, this fan episode too, and he's from New Hampshire. And he just started a podcast called The Resistance Chronicles.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a chef, and he's a really nice guy. And I'm going to go on his show on the 19th. And he said the basis of the show is him and his buddy just highlight Twitter stories and talk about those from the past week. And but he said he wants to move it more towards like a podcast about homesteading and canning and stuff like that. So I'm going to come on and talk about chickens and do all that. And
that's
he's a Liberty guy, but he's a chef in New Hampshire. You know what the motto is for New Hampshire, right?
Don't tread on me.
Live free or die.
Oh.
And he said in his town, he's not even allowed to have chickens. So he said he's going to try to attack it at the city council level, which is awesome. I told him he should just disobey orders like what I do. But we need people like him to go and try to get things changed in local government. So I'm really excited to talk to him. And then he sent us an email, and he said he liked my pictures on Instagram. And then he said, sent me an email saying that he would, with his phone number, and he said I could call and get recipes from him and stuff.
That's so great.
Yeah. And yeah, so send us emails, guys. We really want to hear them. It's DeborahGetsRedPilled@protonmail.com. And we're still running on this value for value model. The donations have been a little light lately. So let's get those bumped up. We got rookie numbers. We want veteran numbers.
Adam needs to buy chickens. So come on now.
Chickens and nine millimeter bullets are $1 a piece now.
You can look at Deborah Gets Red Pilled on Instagram and see Adam at work with the chickens yesterday.
Yeah.
You did a photo. Photo op.
Yeah. Did you like the pictures?
Mm-hmm.
That first one's good. It's with Tweety in it, right? Yeah, he was. We had to put the big dogs away, but Tweety was running around all day looking up blood and eating feathers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But, yeah, so send us what you believe to be the value you're getting out of the show, you know? How about $1 a show? Maybe $10 a show? And if you're a rich guy, maybe even more.
There's no limit.
No limit. And yeah, I think we got some new reviews. Reviews really help the show, guys, because like Charlie Robinson says, the algorithm's not gonna help us out. So the more ratings we get, the better the show is doing. So let's see, we got a couple good ones. Let me read a few of them. Oh, see y'all.
Are these reviews that showed up on YouTube, or where did they show up?
iTunes.
On iTunes, okay.
Yeah. This one is from Far North Patriot. He says, great show. Lots of good topics covered and awesome guests. It's kind of a unique experience as Deborah is hearing all the good stuff for the first time. If Adam reads this, don't pay attention to the blank dude, the guy who didn't want us on his platform. Remember when I told you that story? How I had the meeting with the guy and it only lasted like 2 minutes and he said, we're not profitable.
Yeah.
So he said his, I'm not going to say the channel that he does, but he said, the blank dude, I listen to all the people who are on blank and your show is just as entertaining as theirs. So thanks, man. Really appreciate it.
Very much.
And then somebody said, I love the podcast. It's a good concept. I'd really like to hear an episode about what really happened to the Titanic. I'd love to do that episode too.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever heard anything about that?
Never, never.
I've heard multiple things.
Wow. No,
you know what the Federal Reserve is. And so yeah. A lot of people that were some of these really, really wealthy guys that were opposing the creation of the Federal Reserve were on the Titanic.
Oh.
Okay,
no, all so, I know is I'll never let go, Jack.
Yeah. Okay, we got one that says, what a team. I love the way you talk to Deborah. This is from your mama's pod. Not your mom's house, but your mama's pod. I love the way you talk to Deborah. You stop to ask how she's doing and if she understands. I need that. Thank you. And then one more.
That's very kind.
Matthew Blackburn. He says, enjoying the show, came to you from the hooligans. So that was the whiskey, beer, and conspiracy guys.
Right? Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm a third degree Mason in a small town in North Carolina. For well over 10 years, I didn't feel as if I took a blood oath, more like a promise that you try to keep. I'm also a born again Christian. But I'll say to you this on the Shriner thing and worshiping Allah. God is God, no matter what you call him. God, Yahweh, Adonai, Jehovah, etc. It's man's interpretation and traditions that people shape what they think God is. God is in all of us. I just was listening and thought I'd comment. Anyway, God bless and enjoying the show. So yeah, we're big in the Masonic, the Masonic world, the Masonic community.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, send us those 5-star reviews, guys, and we'll probably read them. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much.
So yeah, on the last, it sucked. I was really looking forward. It seems like we haven't done anything in a long time. We had a show lined up on Friday, guys, and our guests just no call, no showed. It's really weird. I checked what's on Twitter earlier in the week and they said, yep, it's a go. And then just radio silence. So it's kind of a bummer when that happens. And I like, you know, I just sent a message that says, you know, missed you today. Let us know if we can get you rebooked. And still haven't heard anything. So
no, maybe, well, you know, we never know really what's going on in anybody's lives. So, you know, maybe he's dealing with some.
Yeah. So only 2 of those out of 30.
Yeah. That's not too bad, huh?
Kind of big leagued us and did that before and then said they were going to reschedule and then just never wrote back. So, you know, I've got a memory like an elephant. So, you know, keep that in mind. It's really ruining their day. Man, it was so nice here today. It's really like, it was a beautiful sunny day, about 48 degrees. I worked in the backyard all day. I burned a bunch of stuff in a barrel that I probably shouldn't have been burning within city limits. And I can see it out the window now. It all burned down to nothing.
Uh-huh.
I was a little worried it was kind of smoky for a second because I was burning a lot of wet 2x4s.
Huh.
But yeah, so we were supposed to do a show on Friday. They didn't show up. So we were going to do maybe a solo on, but I had a bunch of stuff to do. So we just scrapped it. But the show before that was Sandman. It went okay. The way his show's good, but the way that he does stuff is he's like, he researches it and talks about like crazy conspiracy theories, but like he doesn't believe any of them. And, you know, I want to get a guy on to talk about Hollow Earth, who's like a proponent, because mm-hmm. they're out there and there's guys that can make like a really good case. And I wanted to talk a little more about Project High Jump, and he didn't know as much as I thought he would, but he did know a lot about the Nazi occult and stuff like that. I
made a comment in there that I should probably have thought about before I said it, and I go off sometimes without thinking. And I made a comment about, well, I repeated a comment that I heard or read somewhere without verifying to see if the person who was the person who supposedly said this, if it was in fact something that came out of her mouth, and it wasn't. And I repeated it during the podcast, and I regret doing that. Because I need to be a little more, try to be a little more thorough and only talk about, you know, if I'm going to attribute a comment to somebody, I need to make sure that they actually said it before I repeat it. So I apologize for doing that.
So apology accepted. Thank you for that, Deborah. It's hard to humble yourself in situations like these. And I'm sure I've been wrong all sorts of times on this show and you just didn't pick it up. So thank you for that. What we're talking about is when you mentioned that, I think her name's Marjorie Taylor Greene. And what is her position? She is a congresswoman?
Yes. Newly elected South Carolina?
From Georgia. But I think Georgia.
Okay.
I could be wrong. Somewhere in the South.
Yeah.
And she's been labeled as like the QAnon congresswoman because she's like a conservative and she's on the side of all these Q people. So what she said was she had written a post on some sort of social media talking about directed energy weapons, which is what a lot of people think. Like we talked about it early on in our podcast when all the fires were going on in the West Coast. A lot of people think that there's fires going on that are man-made to clear out certain areas, to get people into cities, to do this whole thing. And that all these cities on the West Coast are going to be connected by this high-speed rail that's owned by like a large portion of the shares are owned by like Nancy Pelosi's husband and high level elite people like that. And all these areas in California that burn are along where that track is supposed to go. So people, she brought up that there are satellites that could be causing these fires that are owned by the Rothschilds. And the media took that statement and turned it into Marjorie Taylor Greene says that there's Jewish satellites that Jews control that cause fires, that Jews can shoot lasers out of their eyes or something like that. Like, mm-hmm. Or maybe that last part, I know they did it on Saturday Night Live as the opening skit. And as funny as Saturday Night Live hasn't been funny since, you know, Chris Farley was on it. But as, you know, that gets turned into people actually believing that was said. And more than just saying something that wasn't true, because I don't care about that lady. I think she's totally controlled opposition. She's put in there to like just bring conspiracy theories into the mainstream and present them as a really dumb person. And then to be able to turn those conspiracy theories into just QAnon, you know, just have the media say, oh, that's a QAnon conspiracy theory. But I think what upset me about your regurgitation of that is just that you accepted the mainstream media story after all the hard work that I've put in.
It accepted that she had said.
Well, saw a headline or read a poorly written story somewhere and maybe didn't look into it or think like, oh, well, this was written by MSNBC or reposted by, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, thank you for being the larger person and coming on and talking about that. So let's move on. Oh, okay. So we can kind of relate that into what the Sandman had said at the end of the show, which I took issue with, is that he said that we have a responsibility as conspiracy theorists for what we put out into the world. And I think he was like kind of like saying like, oh, like, I think he was somehow saying, relating it to the so-called insurrection at the Capitol and like, so I think he believes the mainstream narrative on most stuff. Like when we were talking about the Nashville bombing, it's Nashville, right? Or is it it's one of the cities in Tennessee, and he said that, you know, he had done some research and he was just waiting for the FBI's story to, or at the FBI report to come out, so he would know what had really happened. And so like I see the FBI report on anything, I don't believe it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I think it all kind of ties in to, I think if I get a story out into the world, as long as I'm not like saying people said things that aren't true, it's on the person to do their own research, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's my responsibility. I think my responsibility is to try to wake people up, you know? I mean, what responsibility does the mainstream media have? To tell us the truth?
They have a responsibility to their advertisers.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. And, you know, they've lied us. They've been the ones who've pushed us into wars and, you know, they've perpetuated this, the whole pandemic thing and done thousands of things that aren't true for as long as they've existed. So I don't think I should have a higher moral response. I think I do, but I don't think I'm more morally responsible than the mainstream media should be. So maybe instead of like worrying about what conspiracy theorists think, like maybe, you know, direct your energy towards the mainstream media and the lies that they tell us constantly. So I don't know if I'm saying that right, but we can ask our guests today what they think if we get some time. But then there's a couple other things I wanted to talk about. So did you see, Jimmy Kimmel, did you see his monologue where he was talking about the Wall Street Bets thing?
Oh no.
Oh, he was talking. So what Jimmy Kimmel was taking the side of the hedge funds, how what happened with the Wall Street Bets thing was bad.
Is that the stop game?
Yeah.
GameStop. So
just the normal guys that made the money, you know, they did something wrong. It was, and he said in his monologue that it was quite possibly Russian agitators that had done it, you know. So it's just like, it's just so crazy how bought and sold these guys are. And like, he's not even funny. They just go up there and tell some stupid lies that's not his thoughts. He wasn't driving to the studio in Burbank and thought like, oh, for the monologue tonight, I should talk about how like I've been researching this Wall Street Bets thing, and it's Russian agitators just like the election, you know. So, I mean, it's just remember when I when we had Ricky Verandas on, and I posed the fake scenario to you where Dr. Fauci tells us that if we put butt plugs in, then COVID will stop. And you said you wouldn't do it. So that's crazy, because now what are they proposing that we're going to do to test for COVID?
What?
Anal swabs.
Get out.
No. You're supposed to wear 3 masks and get an anal swab now.
Get out of here.
I'm dead serious.
Huh.
So it's just, and you know what? People are going to do it. People are going to go get Q-tips stuck up their butt in a parking lot.
Oh my God.
I mean, I've been doing that for years, but not to get tested for a disease.
TMI, Adam, TMI.
Okay, sorry. So I was listening to a really good podcast today with Pete Quinones and Vin Armani, the most recent Free Man Beyond the Wall. And they said to combat all this craziness that's going on, they're just going to keep going as far as they can. They're going to, you know, next thing they're going to stick it up your pee hole to test you for it. I mean, it was a joke that I said 3 months ago, and now it's come true.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So to combat this, we need as many people to do all the things that we did in the great before, which is what they're referring to the time before COVID as. So get out there, guys, and disobey. And that's what I think you should do. Not telling you to do anything really illegal, but I mean, I'm telling you to go hang out with friends and stuff, and that's illegal now. So yeah.
I thought it was so strange. California recently opened up restaurants for outside dining. That they had shut that down, and it was another stay at home order, and we're, you know, listening to the numbers going up, 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 and you know, more people are sick and more people are dying. And then all of a sudden, lo and behold, the restaurants are open again.
Yeah, and numbers have gone down like 40%. It's so crazy, because it's almost, oh, I mean, there's this article that came out in Life magazine. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh my God. It's insane.
On COVID?
On the election.
Oh, uh-huh.
They just talk about how they rigged it. It's insane. They openly talk about how they rigged it.
That's interesting. I'm surprised Life magazine would.
They say, well, remember what Charlie Robinson told us, that there's like, you can watch video of the guy that's the head of, or not Life, Time magazine, not Life.
Okay.
I don't really know what the difference is, but the old like guy that ran Time magazine talking about how great propaganda is. So let's see, what did they say? I took screenshots of it. Well, we'll get into it next time. Because our guest is here and we only have an hour with him. So let's pause, let these guys in, and we'll be right back. All right, hold on.
All right.
All right, guys, we're back. And this week we're super excited to have Darren and Graham from Grimerica with us, our friends in the Great White North. How's it going, guys?
Cold.
Yeah.
Super cold.
It's going good, though. It's going good. It's been a productive month.
Yeah. You guys are by Calgary or Edmonton?
Yeah Calgary. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And what does it get? Do you know what it gets to in Fahrenheit there? What's the temperature?
Probably like minus 10 or 15 right now. Maybe minus 20 by tomorrow morning. My chickens are pissed.
Yeah. Are they still laying?
Yes.
Right on.
We should actually go check. There's probably two more eggs out there now.
Yeah. I have 7 egg chickens and 4 of them are laying. So
I saw some posts today from you guys with your chickens. I was showing Darren.
Yeah, I did meat birds for the first time. I killed 10 of them yesterday.
Wow.
It was a long day. So
yeah.
You guys should do that. It's really awesome. I'm going to cook one tonight for the first time. So
nice.
Yeah. But so how is it? I guess we'll do the basic questions. How's it in Calgary? Is it pretty, you guys were not that locked down for a while and now you're really locked down?
Well, we're just about 25 minutes out of the city in a smaller town called Chestermere.
Uh-huh.
And it was quite a ways behind Calgary on all that kind of lockdown stuff until then they expanded the whole thing to all the little towns around Calgary. And now it's what, provincial, Darren, most of the stuff we're following, or?
I guess, yeah.
In some ways, it's still less.
The restaurants started to open now, so.
Than some of the rest of Canada. I mean, back east, it's pretty bad, I think. But
yeah.
But yeah, they're trying to squeeze restaurants open.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm still afraid that it's going to get worse, to be honest with you, even though it shouldn't be. But
yeah, I don't even know what I live like right by Portland.
Oh,
like 3 miles over the border, but in a different county. So it's like a little, I live in like a little like working class town, like 3 miles over the border from Portland. So different county and relaxed a little bit, but it's pretty pretty locked down here too, but people stay out of your business a little more here.
Yeah.
But not much. So like
they do stay out of your business here. I mean, to be honest, for the most part, I mean, people are pretty good.
I've never had any problems.
Yeah. I've been kicked out of every business that's within walking distance from my house. So I can't go to the Safeway. I can't go to the gas station on the corner, but I'm getting around and we found the spots that are okay for us. Deborah's in Marin County, California. The other side of the Golden Gate Bridge from San Francisco.
Wow.
So they're right in the middle of it.
I'm just north of San Francisco. And, today was an absolutely spectacularly beautiful day. It could have been maybe 70 degrees. I'm not sure. I haven't looked, but it could have gotten up to 70 today. And everybody's out and about and everybody's wearing their masks.
I was just telling Darren that today. I got all frustrated before we started. We just recorded an intro before we jumped on here. And I was like, do you remember hearing from our officials, our health officials in this province and the province over that there's zero chance of you catching it outside? They were very sure. Outside is fine. Go outside, do all that. And what has happened to that? It's so disgusting. And now people are wearing them around outside. Like just, and they're supposed to, and they're okay with it. Like what the fuck?
Yeah.
Sorry, can I swear on here?
Yeah, you can do whatever. You just can't say the C word.
That's okay.
That's my rule.
I don't usually say that.
Good.
I saw my across the street neighbor who's a public school teacher the other day. So she's loving it because she doesn't have to go to work and she gets paid, all her money. But she was walking around in her little with no mask, and then her little 5-year-old son had a mask on. It really bummed me out. But I don't know. I'm not allowed in Canada. I got in some trouble a while back, and your guys' government has said that I can't cross the border. I really want to go to like Banff. And like, I used to go to British Columbia a lot when I was a kid growing up here. We'd go on vacation up there. But I met this guy yesterday. He was I went and rented an electric chicken plucker from this family up in Washington, and they were Canadian. And they said that they had really strange accents. They're from British Columbia, but they said they were like from the border crossing that's just like west of Spokane. And they said they lived in like the desert area up there where it's like really cold desert, but they were like, the guy sounded like he was from Norway. So, and it's, he had like a really weird name. I don't even know what it was, but they were so nice. Like we just, we went and we returned the chicken plucker to them, and I thought they were just going to give us our deposit back. We're going to head home. And like, they gave us the money, and then they were like, oh, do you guys have time for coffee? And like, we went and like hung out with them for like half an hour and had coffee. They didn't say like, we're hanging out and just drinking coffee. If you guys want some, they like asked if we had time for coffee. And like, so like, that's like more like saying like, we want you guys to stay instead of stay if you want.
Yeah, that's cool.
They were really cool. He was like just a normal working class guy, but yeah.
So yeah, that area of the province is like a different country altogether. It's like a little sort of a more of a desert lake kind of environment. It just feels like when you're there, you feel like you're in a different spot altogether.
Yeah. I was about to, I just, right before you guys came on, I just brought up the Time Magazine article about the election. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah, I saw a great breakdown of a guy in Quebec called Viva Fry. I don't know if you've seen him on YouTube at all. He does a great breakdown of that. He's a lawyer and he does all these legal sort of YouTubes. Yeah. And it's fantastic.
Viva Fry. Okay. Yeah, I'll look for him.
Yeah. He just put it out yesterday, I think.
Yeah. It's so.
Yeah. It's pretty mind blowing. Yeah.
I took some screenshots of it. I was going to read it to Deborah what they said.
Yeah. It's just the epitome of what's happening. It's just, they're just doing everything in plain sight, telling you they're doing it, but calling it something different. And it's 180 degrees opposite of what they say, basically. That's my thought.
Okay. So Deborah, it's the name of the article is "The Secret History of the Shadow Campaign That Saved the 2020 Election." So it goes, "There's a conspiracy unfolding behind the scenes, one that both curtailed the protests and coordinated the resistance from CEOs. Both surprises were the result of an informal alliance between left-wing activists and business titans. The pact was formalized in a terse, little-noticed joint statement of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the AFL-CIO, published on Election Day. Both sides would come to see it as sort of an implicit bargain inspired by the summer's massive, sometimes destructive racial justice protests." So they're admitting that they weren't mostly peaceful right there. "In which the forces of labor came together with forces of capital to keep the peace and oppose Trump's assault on democracy." They said, "That's why the participants want the secret history of the 2020 election told, even though it sounds like a paranoid fever dream. A well-funded cabal of powerful people ranging across industries and ideologies, working together behind the scenes to influence perceptions, change the rules, steer media coverage, and control the flow of information. They were not rigging the election. They were fortifying it. Their work touched every aspect of the election. They got states to change voting systems and laws and helped secure hundreds of millions of in public and private funding." So that's in Time Magazine, Deborah. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm kind of shocked that it would be in Time Magazine, you know, maybe Rolling Stone, but not Time Magazine.
Why?
I
don't really know the difference.
Well, Time Magazine is, it's a news format, you know, it's a news show on paper. It's not entertainment. It's, you know, yeah. More.
Well, that was more of a news article than an entertainment article, wasn't it?
But yes, but
that's probably the most honest they've been with the news in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except for the protection part. But.
Yeah. So there we had this guy on a couple weeks ago called Legal Man, and he came on.
Oh, yeah. He's coming on our show.
And, oh, he's so awesome. Yeah.
He's good.
I was really nervous of him coming on just because he gets a little worked up sometime. But he just talked for like an hour and just went for it and asked Deborah like the most basic questions and destroyed democracy, you know. But yeah, so Deborah, they sounds like they did some extremely undemocratic things too. In the name of democracy. I don't know. It's pretty wild, but.
I'll have to read it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Viva Fry does a great, he's got about a 25 minute video. If you search that.
Okay.
He reads most of it and he does it from a great legal perspective because he reads between the lines and he teases through the wording of these things that they put out in the media. just like the, he breaks down some of the fact checking bullshit and some of the,
yeah,
the headline, the headlines that aren't at all what the article says. I mean, they're pretty much allowed to just tell you whatever they want, even though it's not true.
Yeah. I listened to, have you ever heard Pete Quinones on Free Man Beyond the Wall podcast? Have you ever heard that one?
I've heard of him. I haven't got into that yet.
He did a really good episode today with Vin Armani. You know that guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was really good. They've done some really good episodes together about the dim age is what they're calling.
Yeah. I love it.
So yeah, you should I think they've done four, so you should check them out.
Yeah, for sure. But,
yeah, so what's what else is going on, guys? We're just really excited to talk to you, and I don't know.
I'm wondering how time could be considered a reputable news source. I'm still kind of just going through some of the covers from the last couple of years, and it's just a bunch of propaganda. I mean, I don't know. You think it's, I wonder if it got worse. So Deborah, I don't know the premise of the show, but I get the sense that you're getting red pilled.
That's the premise. Yes.
So have you been actively following these outlets, like the news outlets, say what was your, what's your news information source looking like, say from 2000 till now?
Well, it was CNN all the way.
So have you noticed a difference since Obama and his cronies repealed the Smith-Munt's Modernization Act in late 2012, early 2012? Did you notice any difference in...
Do I know about it? Nope.
Have you noticed any difference, say, in the last 10 years of news compared to the previous 20?
Well, yeah, people are, you know, it's about their opinion now. It's not about, you know, somebody's not just reading the news, they are interjecting their own personality and opinion into it. And, you know, the big deal that was apparent to me before really anything else was that all of a sudden there were all of these pharmaceutical ads. And I'm wondering, you know, why are they targeting, you know, the 6 p.m. news crowd, the, you know, with all these pharmaceutical ads? And, you know, then after a period of time, it, you know, became known to me. Maybe Adam, maybe you were the one who even told me that, you know, they're all bought and sold.
Yeah, we kind of went over on one of our early episodes to figure out like how much people were getting paid, who's the highest paid.
Who's the highest paid, Tucker?
It was Sean Hannity. He was like 40 million. Believe it or not, Don Lemon, Deborah's favorite, was only a million.
That's because he's black.
Yeah, that's what
they're racist.
Yeah, they're super but yeah, like and then I like went between, I looked on up Fox News and CNN to see who their highest paid advertisers were, and they were identical, both stations. Yeah,
totally. And you could throw ABC in the mix too, and it's going to be right up that same, that same alley. I mean, and it's the pharmaceutical companies specifically that have taken the place over, and they've taken over the media and the magazines, and they've done it via advertising and threats and everything else. And I think the easy stat of it is with 350 million people in America, they're trying to convince me that 500,000 people died of coronavirus. But in Nigeria, with 200 million people crammed in tight as fuck with no healthcare system, they're at 1,400. And the interesting thing about that 1,400 is if you times that by about 6, which will get you close to what China's population is. And people freak out. I've gotten emails and tweets about everything because they say, oh, fucking defending China. Okay, I'm just saying. If I take Nigeria's population of 200 million and times it by 6 or 7, that's going to get you the Chinese population. China's closing in on 5 or 6,000 coronavirus deaths. Nigeria, you times their population by 7, you get their 1,400, you're getting, you know, a little under 10,000, you're getting closer to that range anyway. If I take my deaths in Alberta and break down all the comorbidities and throw out everything that I know is garbage, then I get left with a number that's like 22. And if I times that by the 350 number, that is the population difference between China and
Alberta,
I come up with, you know, in that same ballpark, I come up with about 7,500.
Yeah.
And we're not defending China at all.
We're just defending their COVID numbers.
To look that somehow some of these countries seem to be more honest or more, they're using other alternatives to besides waiting for a vaccine. You know, it's been disgusting what the Western countries are doing with the death counts and with just waiting for some miracle vaccine to come around before even giving people, like, there's no plan. If you're sick, you're not supposed to take vitamin C, vitamin D. Ernest, I shouldn't say that. You're not supposed to take it, but there's no advice to do anything.
So even using those numbers, so let's take, I think we're up to 25. We'll call it 25 people in Alberta that have died that weren't like 90 and didn't have a bunch of dementia or all these other terrible things. And we'll take, so my number I come up with was 22 last week. I'll dump it up to 25 because 3 or 4 people probably died since then. We'll times that by 50 for the population difference between Alberta and Nigeria. And we come up with 1,250 people. So, I mean, it just seems like China and Nigeria are calling a spade. And when grandma, God rest her soul, is 88 and is on the way out with dementia and happens to get COVID, it's not COVID.
Right.
Because when you start doing that, you start panicking a population and destroying an economy. And China's just sitting over there fucking laughing.
And there's some articles just coming out in Canada now that our pandemic preparedness planning is not being followed. Even for scenarios that are way worse than what's happening now, there was never plans to put healthy people in their homes or to lock down businesses or to do all these measures that they're doing now. So something is really off with what they're doing. And that comes back to this big pharma. I think it's the big pharma push, the advertising you're seeing in the mainstream, the propaganda, the lies, this is the push.
Not only that, the infiltration of the healthcare systems.
That's what's so frustrating. So
that's why your healthcare people are going up there and saying blah, 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 because they're getting fucking paid or they got reps going in there. They're just useful idiots that don't know any better. And I mean, take a look at some of these health people. Just take a look at them. I'd like to see each state and each province just line up these fucking top health officials. Put them in a row and tell me and I'm not judging anyone. You just tell me if those are the people you want to take your health advice from.
You got that one lady that looks like the Crypt Keeper. You got the transgender Jabba the Hutt that's in the Biden administration now.
People that clearly aren't getting any exercise or having a proper diet or any of those things. So I don't want their opinion on that. I need a vaccine because
did you see the Belgian health minister?
Yeah.
She has like 8 chins.
Yeah.
It's pretty, she's
which is fine. And I'm not judging her right to have 8 chins, but I just don't, you know, if you're not exercising or dieting or exhausting all options, and if you're not telling me that I need to be watching my immune system first and foremost over a vaccine, then you're fucking bought and paid for, plain and simple.
Yeah. I was just talking earlier, we had Ricky Brandis came on our show a long time ago, and he said that, I proposed a fake scenario to Deborah where what if Fauci had asked us or told us that if we don't need to wear masks, but we need to wear butt plugs to prevent the spread of COVID. She said she wouldn't do it. And then I just brought up the fact that anal swabs are going to be the new preferred testing.
Well, I mean, my fart goes through my underwear and my jeans and gets to the other side of the room pretty damn quick. So mask ain't stopping that.
Yeah. But have you seen the anal swab testing yet?
You guys were familiar? You'd heard this before?
Yeah. Yeah.
I hadn't heard it.
Yeah. It's I don't know if I even believe it, to be honest, but it's just one other level of distraction, it seems.
Yeah,
they're just making fun of us at this point. They tell us this, then they tell us that, and it contradicts the other thing they said. And I mean, Darren made a really good observation the other day. He's got a theory about what's happening with the vaccines. Is Canada just signed what the US signed in 1986, exempting big pharma from getting sued by people for getting injured and dying from vaccines? And Canada just, didn't they just sign theirs? prior to the rollout. So prior to this rollout, Canada has followed suit, and maybe the rest of the world is. That's one of the deal. That's one of the plans here, is let's get the world, all the countries, to sign off that we're not liable when you get injured from these vaccines, which aren't really vaccines. It's gene therapy.
Yeah, it doesn't even
qualify. And they changed the definition of vaccines recently.
Yeah. So up until recently, you could sue a vaccine company in Canada, where you haven't been able to do it here since
1996. I guess, yeah. I don't know how much it happened, and I don't know. Been
a successful case.
Oh, really? Yeah? For before ever. This?
Not one. Ever.
But I mean, our schedule isn't anywhere close to what it's like down there either, is it?
Which is interesting, because they're freely admitting that out of 100,000 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine, there's been 53 adverse reactions, 11 of which were allergic.
In Alberta?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've heard.
Our schedule is not quite as bad. I mean, it's not a whole lot different than theirs. We don't do quite as many at 2 months as at 4 months, and we don't do a Hep B shot within the first 12 hours of life.
Yeah. You don't want your baby to get that STD before they leave the hospital, you know?
My babies didn't get any shots.
Yeah, I don't think mine are going to get any either, so. Do you have a hard time? Do they go to public school or anything, or did they before?
Yeah, they're going back. Tomorrow is actually their first day back. They've been off they were homeschooled till they were a little older.
Yeah.
Madison started in grade 8 and Cassandra started in kindergarten.
Not grade 8.
Or grade 2.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so they're going back. We've talked about it long enough, and they've decided that they want to go back and see their friends. So our school is pretty good. They got pretty lax mask rules, and
that's good.
They're going to go back and see how it goes.
Yeah,
but we've never had a problem with vaccines. We get they'll send home a letter every couple of years that, actually, I think it's every year. When they're doing the vaccines at school, they'll send a letter home saying, you know, we just want to know if you're still not taking them. Just say,
but no pressure.
No, I mean, I'd imagine some. Doctors or pediatricians would probably give you some pressure, but we were lucky. We never had any. I mean, I'm pretty good at arguing or I'm pretty good at not getting steamrolled by someone anyway. So, I mean, and we were lucky that our doctor was a Somali dude who just freely admitted that he had no clue and he just says what they tell him to.
That's pretty good.
Which is the case with all of them.
Yeah,
I've yet to find a pediatrician or talk to a pediatrician that's done any vaccine anything. They don't read the inserts and they only do one 3 day course on vaccination in their pediatrician studies.
Yeah, are you guys worried about having to take it for work or anything like that?
I won't take it no matter what. So
yeah, I guess, are you worried about your work requiring it?
Not work, but I mean, we're worried about other people worrying about that. I mean, I think we're at the point where, or at least I'm not going to take it no matter what, if that means
we're blessed.
If that means not doing something for a couple of years, then I won't do something for a couple of years. I don't want to fake my way around it either. I want to stand up against it, but hopefully that won't affect things as much. I mean, there was just a lawsuit, one in Canada, that said mandatory vaccines can't be forced on your vaccine can't be forced. I think they just the JCCF just won something about that, but that doesn't know. I don't know if that means the corporations can't, you know, have their way around this in their own virtue signaling way.
Yeah, I'm worried about not having a job, but you know, I'm not going to take it. I don't. If I never get on a plane again for the rest of my life, I'm fine. I like where I live. And I think like once stuff becomes mandatory, there's going to be, you know, every action has action has an equal and opposite reaction. So I think that, there's going to be like huge gray and black markets emerging with, solutions for people that don't want to, you know, just go along with the narrative. So I've heard of, pilots that are already ready to fly people around, and I bet you there's doctors. I know, Graham. I know you want to. You want to do it all above board without having to forge anything, but you know. So.
Yeah, it might be just a both case scenario. I mean, I just don't want to take people out of the fight by, you know, I want them to see the true resistance and not of people getting around it in a fake way that they just keep pushing their way around. I mean, if we all stood up, all whatever, if it's 5% of us or 10% of us or 20% or even maybe more like 40 or 50 realistically that just say no, then what are they going to do? Like, we'll start creating our own economy around it.
Yeah.
You know, that's like create the restaurants and the theaters and things that you're like, you can come in if you're vaccinated. Well, and you can come in if you're not, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, there's some businesses around here that are still operating. They're like punishing them pretty badly. They're taking away their liquor licenses and stuff, but,
because they don't require masks. Yeah,
because I think, cause they're like seating people and stuff. I don't think you're allowed to go eat at a restaurant here. But yeah, they're not requiring masks and stuff.
And so they're taking away their liquor license?
Yeah, they're just destroying them, you know.
Good Lord.
Yeah, how have you got, do you guys have like a community of people up there that you're like pretty close with that feel the same way as you guys, or are you kind of out on an island by yourself?
I'm probably on the opposite island where everyone knows my name. And they're always out of game.
All right.
I mean, I live in a bubble where nobody gives a fuck about COVID or the government. So people come to my house and they're welcome to come here, and my kids have play dates and
we
do what the fuck we want.
Yeah, that's how I do it too. So,
and luckily my neighbors have been pretty cool about all that too.
Yeah. Yeah, I do underground farmers markets at my house. So I've had a couple of them. Had like 30 people over, you know, on a Saturday afternoon, just selling stuff with crypto and trading stuff, and you know, it's pretty cool. So I got a big have you guys heard of Freedom Cells?
Yep.
Yeah, so I go to one here in Portland, and there's a ton of people in it, and we mostly just hang out with those people. And then I hang out with people that I do jujitsu with. My jujitsu gym never closed. I was going to one gym that closed, so I left and went and joined another one. When OSHA came to shut them down, they fucking locked the door and told them to fuck off.
Nice.
Never closed. So it's a big name gym with like a bunch of famous people that work out there. So it's pretty cool that I can still do that. So all my friends are either jujitsu people or Freedom Cell people.
Yeah, that's good. I don't have enough of that up here. I mean, we're just, I don't know if it's, I mean, friends of mine are in sort of that type of Freedom Cell. So I'm one step away from it, but I don't know the farming community enough here. I don't know enough of people besides our little tiny bubble here.
Yeah.
Darren's more connected than I am here probably.
Yeah. I don't know, it's going good. It's crazy to see how many like just normal like Southeast Portland soccer moms are like pissed off, and people showing up that don't look like people that you'd normally see, you know, defying the government. It's a lot. And then like those Canadian guys that I went and hung out with yesterday, like they were a pretty normal family, it seemed like, but they were like woke up, you know, like they were talking about the vaccine and how it's not a true vaccine and how it's all bullshit. So I think the amount of people that are like that are way more than a lot of people think. It's just not everybody's super outspoken about it, but
mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder how many people of like-minded are around my area.
Well, I think everybody's like-minded the wrong way in your area.
That's that's what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, everybody you know is pretty stoked on the lockdown and stuff, right?
Well, they're abiding by it, that's for sure.
Yeah, a lot of people are abiding by it that don't agree with it, but I think where you live, it's more people are scared scared to talk about it if they had the opposite view, you know. So I don't talk to my parents very often, but I talked to them on the phone. My dad called a week ago, and he was like, the first thing he said was like, "Oh, I just got back from getting my second vaccine shot," like all excited about it. And I just said, "Wow." And that's like all I gave him. And then he like talked for about 20 minutes. And then at the end, he was like, "Well, hopefully like in the," they live down in Southern California. He goes, "Hopefully by the end of the summer, the vaccine will be available for you and Emily, and you could maybe get it and come on down and visit." And I just said, I'm never getting the vaccine, Dad. And that's kind of where it ended. So it's a bummer. It's kind of like, I don't know, I'm kind of resigned to the fact that I'm never going to see my parents again. So it's like,
no.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm not going to get vaccinated, I don't know if my mom would let me in the house, you know?
even though like officially it doesn't even stop the spread. I mean, do they know those basic details about?
Yeah, they're too far gone, I think.
Wow. I mean, those are important conversations to have though, right? I mean,
the way I look at it,
defeat the vaccine argument with like New York Times articles and stuff. You could just,
yeah, but that's like if like people are willing to hear stuff logically, and I think most people aren't.
And go past the headline.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Deborah and I did a podcast earlier called, I titled it Truth Triage, and I kind of feel like you need to know like who's savable and who's not.
Totally.
And like if you do this for long enough, I know you guys have been at it for way longer than I have. I'm not really trying to convince anybody. I'm trying to, you know, talk to people that want to hear something different or come to me and ask me if I know some facts about something that they've heard from the mainstream media or something like that. So I'm not trying to like argue with people. I'm not trying to be an activist. It's just, it's a bummer though. Like, you know, I'm trying to have kids with my wife, Deborah's daughter. And, you know, I don't think my parents would come see like an unvaccinated baby, you know? So.
Oh, I bet you their tune will change pretty quick once there's a little grandbaby running around.
I don't know, man. We'll see.
Here's hoping.
Yeah. Here's hoping. But, you know, I know Deborah will come see it. So,
yep.
Well, the positive news is your dad's okay after the vaccine.
Oh, yeah. I haven't talked to him about a week. So maybe he's all right.
Maybe you should just call him and say, I just want to make sure you're still okay. You're still breathing. Yeah.
How's the left side of your face working, Dad?
Yeah.
Someone sent me a, I don't know if it was an Instagram or what, but this woman is, you know, holding her cell phone and she's talking in the mirror and she's saying, I just got my shot, you know, and so far I'm feeling fine. You know, my arm's a little sore. And then, you know, there's a break in it and she's back in the mirror again. Okay, it's day number two, you know, she has to clear her throat because she's a little hoarse, but I'm feeling fine. And, you know, still a little sore. And then she comes back day number three and she's switched out with her husband or, you know, some guy who's, you know, bald with a beard and but she's still talking, you know, like, oh, day number three. Ah, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I know that you guys have been doing a lot of like spiritual podcasts and stuff like that. And I know you've talked about having the whole COVID fatigue and election fatigue, and sorry to put you guys through that again. I kind of feel the same way. I'm trying to like do way more podcasts on ancient mysteries and stuff like that. Like I'm super into Tartaria and the Hollow Earth and stuff like that. We had this guy on to talk about Hollow Earth and like, I thought he was going to know more. It came out, you like, you know, he's one of those guys that doesn't like believe in it. Just does like a bunch of research about what people who believe in it believe. And then like at the end of the show, he like talked about how as conspiracy theorists, we have a responsibility to what's put out into the world. And if people do bad things based on what we say, like we're responsible for that. And I like vehemently disagreed with him. What do you guys think? Like, do you think we have any extra responsibility or anything like that as people who are like trying to discover alternative narratives and things like that?
That's a good question. I saw that. I think I don't know if it's through Instagram or something. I saw you talking about that or something. I was like, oh, I wonder what that was all about.
Yeah, it was cordial, I think he thought that the January 6th insurrection was like a big deal, you know?
Yeah. I mean, my opinion on that is we try to say when we're speculating on stuff, and like, if we're approaching, or I guess I'll speak for myself and not both of us, but if we're talking about serious things like geopolitics or this big pharma stuff or the, you know, I like to try and get to official sources, and I try to be careful not to share, let's say, memes or fear mongering if it might be wrong. I mean, there's so much disinformation out there. So I try and be careful with that and just get right to the CDC for a source, or right to the WHO and see what they're saying, and, or right to our local, you know, Alberta stats page, which tells us enough information that, you know, we can deconstruct some of the media narrative from that. So we try to be careful in that respect, but when it comes to other things like exploring mysteries, like we just did a video with Randall Carlson on Atlantis, and we're exploring ancient mysteries in a video series coming up, which I think for that, I mean, I don't see anything wrong with exploring history and all these other topics, whether it's UFOs or history, and speculating about all kinds of stuff. I mean, the mainstream, like, this is what's so frustrating about this argument, is they can propagate whatever lies they want for years.
Yeah.
Scare the shit out of everybody, get everybody all in a tizzy, divide the country and blame it on somebody else.
Yeah. And
that's okay.
Get us into wars for the,
mostly peaceful. I mean, every war has been spread on disinformation, and then they're going to blame us for talking about freaking hollow earth or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, like, did you see Jimmy Kimmel call the Wall Street Bets guys like Russian disinformation?
And then they just blame all the people again. The media just spins it to make it our fault and not the hedge fund's fault, or it's just one propaganda lie after another, and then they want to talk about it. I mean, that's what got me frustrated with the guerrilla skeptics, you know, pushing back against guys like Graham Hancock and Rupert Sheldrake, when we explore extended consciousness and all the stuff that, let's say, like Alex Sakaris would talk about on Skeptico, is they're worried about all these things when the real issue is the lies from the big pharma paid media and the military industrial complex. That's the issue, not whether, you know, consciousness is extended or whether UFOs are real or ghosts are real. Like, they're attacking the spiritual paradigm instead of the propaganda paradigm.
Yeah. Well, where are you guys at on, you guys started out the podcast just mostly to talk about UFOs and stuff, right?
No, I could give a fuck less about UFOs.
I was into the UFOs. Darren was into kind of ancient mysteries and that kind of thing, I guess.
Okay. Yeah.
Where are you guys at on Tartaria?
Oh yeah. We want to do a show on that coming up, actually, for this video series. I mean, so what happens when I get to topics that interest me before we do a show about it, I kind of stay away from them until prior to the show. So I've seen Tartaria around, and Darren's been probably exploring it more than me, probably. And it's one of those things that's super interesting, but I haven't gotten into it because I'm usually sort of getting interested in the things that are more closer to the next show, you know, like we're doing. And I'm always studying for, not studying, but learning about shows that are coming up. So Tartaria will leave until before we do a Tartaria show, but it seems fascinating to me.
Yeah, it's really awesome, but it's really hard to find like the entry point to it because it's so vast and like kind of vague. But what helped me get into it, I do construction work. So I heard this guy on Freeman Fly talking about like the expositions, like the big World's Fair expositions, you know, of like the late 1800s and early 1900s, and just like the structures and what it would have taken to build those, and then like to build them in modern day would take like, you know, 50,000 people like 15 years to do. And then the narrative is that they did it in 2 years from 1893 to 1895 with horses and no massive, you know, machinery. So that's what like helped me kind of get into it. And then, but I'm having a hard time. I had Jonathan from Idiocalypse and this girl Annabelle who does like just Tartaria memes come on and just do an entry level class for us. And it was really awesome. I think it blew Deborah's mind.
And it then, did. Like, yeah.
After it was over, I felt like it felt really weird. I felt kind of like I was stoned. It was a strange one, but I'm trying to get more people on to do stuff like that. And yeah.
Who's the guy that you talked to about Tartaria before?
Idiocalypse, dude.
No, Jonathan from Idiocalypse.
No, before that. The one you listened to on Freeman Fly.
Oh, his name is Howdy Mikowski.
How do you do that?
Howdy Mikowski? That can't be a real name.
Well, I mean, there's a giant.
His name's Howard Mikowski.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
You don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to see that there's a clear loss of technology. You know, if it seems to slide, if we're going to accept the fact that the pyramids are you know, 4,500 years old, fine. Great pyramids. Let's go with that. The Great Pyramids, 2,500 BC. And then Rome, the Roman kingdoms around 1,000 BC. And then you start getting into the Roman Republic around, you know, 250, 300 BC, right up to zero. And then it sort of starts falling apart from there. And then you got sort of the Greeks from there. And that's, you can just sort of, if we're going to follow the natural timeline, which is kind of my entry into it. I mean, the Egypt stuff has always been out there. I don't agree with the timeline, but the Roman stuff and that I kind of did, you know, I didn't see a
question at all.
Real problem with it, but there's a clear problem with going from what the Romans are capable of in 200 BC compared to what the Britons and the Saxons and the Danish people are capable of in 800 AD. And you can even, when you start reading some of the historical accounts or watching some of the documentaries and stuff, I mean, you can see in the historical accounts, they're talking about how these people relate to the Romans as godlike, and they can't understand how they were able to build a fucking wall right from one side of the island to the other of England, or how they were able to build these giant roads all over the place, how the general camp that a Roman legion would set up just to camp out for the fucking night is still better than what Englanders and that can do 1500 years later, which, and then you see the pictures of Rome in late World War II, where leading up to World War II, when Mussolini started actually excavating it. So there's a bunch of pictures floating around where you can see where they're excavating Rome. They're excavating roads and stuff from Rome. And it's buried, you can see in the pictures, it's buried under 30 or 40 feet, 50, 60 feet of shit. And there's no explanation in our modern timeline. I mean, you can say that it's because of the Catholic Church or because Christianity came into it. I'll give you something there, fine. But I don't see, because the Catholicism and the Christianity does seem to come in almost sort of predatory around there. You know what I mean? Like, it's sort of, if it can't get the pagans to come on board, it'll just sort of adopt all of their shit until they do come on board. But here's the one thing that's going to change: centralized fucking power.
Yeah.
Our one God, and these people talk to him and they decide what's up. So there's no, all these gods, we'll do your Easter and we'll have all your same holidays, but one God.
Yeah.
I just think it's far more likely, just even from the standard account, that something took Rome the fuck out. And you can even see the early forms of Christianity coming into England, especially, is very cult-like. It's very small and cult-like, and the priests have this weird power. It's very cult-like, which seems to me more of ruins. Like, these people found the ancient Roman ruins, kind of started claiming it as their own, and went from there. And I think that's where a lot of your fucking problems come in, because now you come up with, this is where the Vatican comes in.
Yeah.
Which could be, I mean, there's a chance that that is the one big controlling linchpin of it all, is the fucking Vatican. And so if you start seeing that Christianity comes in as this predatory religion, taking out sort of the other ones and spreading as it can, and probably just took over Rome, because clearly these culty priests didn't build that shit. And I don't think that, sure, maybe you could have a breakdown in civilization because of decadence or whatever, things like that. But I don't think you just lose all the technology.
What about the cathedral building in the 1100s? Like, is that?
I think that's all the same time.
Yeah.
I think you're looking at the same thing. I think you're looking at the Roman stonework and the cathedrals and stuff like that being all sort of part of the same empire. And that's how it all fits in with Tartaria. I don't know how the timelines fit in. Maybe it's not as old as because some people are saying, you know, they hijacked the history and it's only 400 years ago or things like that. I don't know enough. I want to talk to my buddy Randall Carlson about that a bit more, because I think he does agree with the timelines, which I think there's time for that too. I mean, you got to think that from the fall of Rome, whatever happened there, I would argue it was probably some sort of cataclysm, some sort of mini mud flood or impact or something has fucked things up enough that the Romans can't continue their way of life. And that's sort of, today we could do it quick, but at that time it might take a few thousand years to sort of ratchet up that control, which is what I think the Vatican's sort of doing in that whole time, is ratcheting up control and slowly spreading its octopus of global control around fucking every place.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened before that. I don't know that the Romans actually existed. I mean, it's convenient that the Roman aristocratic republic is identical to the one the US is using. I mean, identical. It's run by a bunch of oligarchs. The senators used to be appointed even. I mean, in Canada, they still are, but it's kind of that system of elites and plebs and sort of the same thing you see America following to a T, and it's sort of built off this back of this Roman system, which might have been a complete fabrication, which is a good reason to destroy the Library of Alexandria someplace along the line, because you need to restart. You need a restart. So something's messed up there. I mean, Rome could also tie more into Atlantis or something like that. But I think when you start looking at Atlantis, I mean, it seems like the dates for that are a little more locked in than, I mean, which is crazy to say, but it seems like that the date for when Atlantis existed is more accurate in some ways than when Rome did.
Do you give any credit to the idea that there was the Roman Empire or whatever built those structures here in North America?
Yeah, sure. But I don't think you're talking about the Roman Empire.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think you're talking about the Roman Empire. I think you're talking about whatever. I mean, the Roman Empire could be just more tentacles of that whole Atlantis thing. I don't know how long that shit lasts if it's, but the cathedrals wouldn't have lasted. Definitely wouldn't have lasted. I feel like the cathedrals can't be more than a few hundred years old.
Wow.
The stones would last. How do you think it? Because how can a cathedral last 1,000 fucking years? How?
I don't know.
I feel like they're older and they got built way back, possibly with all the rest of the.
You think so?
Yeah, but I don't know. I haven't really looked into it. Mm. It's fascinating, though. But I do love the Tartaria, the thing about interested in the Vikings too, and the Russians, and how they were sort of intermingling back the same timeline you're talking about, in the 900s, 800s. And
yeah, I think something happens around that sort of, I think that BC, that start of the Gregorian calendar, is like, I think there's a missing cataclysm in there someplace.
Before the Dark Ages, maybe? When was that from?
That's like roll right at zero.
Yeah, so right. Yeah.
Ends Rome and starts everything else. And maybe that was only 500 years ago, not 2,000.
Got it.
I don't think you can trust anything these fucking people say. I mean, I think all bets are off. I think it's all fake. It's this rabbit hole that starts. I mean,
it takes years.
I went backwards because we started, I probably went the opposite way as Deborah, because Graham and I started with finding out that history was probably fucking bullshit. And we did this in such a way that when we started the show, we're interviewing the dude saying that this shit on Mars is water and people think he's crazy. And luckily 7 years later, they come out and say, hey, this stuff on Mars is martyr or this stuff on Mars is water. They say it. So this guy's proven right. And then, you know, you got guys like Graham Hancock and Randall Carlson that have been talking about these ancient civilizations. That's been crazy. And then, you know, in the time we've been doing the show, they find Göbekli Tepe. And then they're like, whoops.
Well, it becomes famous anyways.
No, they excavated it, yeah.
No, yeah, that was in the 90s, I think, when they started.
Yeah.
But it becomes
they famous. Date it.
Yeah, they date it.
They date it.
Yeah.
That's
that throws like all Turkey, of the right? timeline. Yeah, that was intentionally buried 13,000 years
ago. So the whole ancient timeline is off. You know, before the Younger Dryas, before the big floods, you know, the Göbekli Tepe was covered up, and there's all this other evidence that something more advanced was there before that.
And then you go down the global warming rabbit hole and you just find out that layer upon layer. So I mean, we were kind of at the point where the last thing we figured out was bullshit was news and politics, because we didn't really come at this with that conspiratorial.
Well, I did from a UFO perspective, because the UFO, a lot of the people in the UFO field are heading the same sort of path we are, because they've been lying to us about UFOs. There's been the cover up, the news has played the X-File jingle, and they always talk about, you know, stories that are hoaxes and not real events. I mean, they've really treated that lately. So I never trusted the media.
Obama.
I never trusted the media from that perspective. But yeah, I got
What do you think about like the promotion of like Bob Lazar and David Fravor on like Joe Rogan, and then like the CIA coming out and saying we like releasing information? I think it's all bullshit.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, even with the UFOs now, I fought for disclosure for so long, and I've had sort of contact experiences myself with a bunch of friends, and we just now I just don't believe anything. I don't know what to believe. I keep an open mind as well, like that. I just try not to get attached to any of those things. There's a reason why it's all public in the media. So even just knowing that, like, well, why are they all of a sudden bringing it out? You know?
Yeah.
I do think there's a deep state battle over disclosure in some ways.
Yeah. We're winding down, guys, to our time limit. Do you guys want to tell everybody about Outlawed and what's going on with that?
Yeah, we're doing. So you mentioned it. Interesting. It was almost a segue before when you said about spirituality and talking about these topics and what we started the show about, and then having COVID fatigue and trying to, we had arguments among ourselves, like whether we're going to, like, for me, it was very important to talk about it, but it was also getting old, you know, bringing it up every week when we do our introductions to the podcast or when we talk to guests, it would be a topic of conversation, and we're trying to decide whether we keep talking about it or not. And of course it's important, but it's also not all there is. But I mean, we feel like we're getting taken over here by the technocratic globalists, really. That seems to be what's happening. The Great Reset is upon us. So we decided to start up another show, another feed, where we can hit some of that stuff a little deeper, get into the vaccine wars and big pharma a little bit more directly, talk about that kind of stuff, do more of like the THC model, the sort of the second half subscription based. And so we've got our original show every week still. We got another show every week still, which is more of like a lengthy episode with the second half subscriber based. And then we've got an audiobook page as well that Darren put together with a bunch of audiobooks that we're doing.
Yeah.
So we're producing and just narrating audiobooks.
So is Grimerica Outlawed is another RSS feed that you can just get and you can get the first hour, and then the second hour you just get.
So two separate feeds. So you get the normal free one. Grimerica Outlawed is the first hour, and then you can subscribe and get the second feed, which is the full thing.
Like Crow or THC, whatever.
Yeah. So we decided to give that a go too. Our other feed is Value for Value. We've been super happy with that as well, that just so many people are willing to donate and keep us going, because it does cost money after a while, all the expenses. And Darren's pointed those podcasts, especially the new one, now to our own servers. So we're not relying on the infrastructure of iTunes and all that stuff to keep going. So, you know, we're getting off of YouTube and we've never really focused on video, but audio is almost secure from cancellation at this point. And our chats now are pointing to
our own servers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're trying to do what we've been talking about, is just insulating ourselves from the cancellation.
Yeah, that's extremely intelligent of you guys. And yeah, hopefully someday, Deborah, we get big enough to get canceled. So yeah, so thank you guys so much for coming on. You've had Dean Reiner and you had Truthzilla on, so you've had the Oregon trifecta now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just, you know, I started listening to you guys like real, you know, I kind of woke up around 2015 and I was listening to Tinfoil Hat and heard you guys on an early Swapcast. And I've been with you ever since. And,
right on.
Happy to have you.
Yeah. It's been really valuable for me. Yeah, I think you're my favorite episode that you guys, the most important one that you guys did that I listened to was the one with, Tony Heller, I think. And, I remember listening to it and it not making sense and then going back and watching it on YouTube and like seeing his visual aids and being like, wow, that made a lot of sense. So,
Tony Heller. Yeah. Yeah.
What was, the topic?
Probably climate change. Yeah. That this is why it's so frustrating, that whole topic, because he goes back to the records and the old papers from the late 1800s and the 1930s and shows how things are different than what they're saying. So he really deconstructs the media to the point where it shows that they're not just glossing over stuff. They're lying about stuff and making stuff up and using the bad data.
And that academia is actively changing charts.
Yeah.
And then he showed the charts that they just sent to Congress.
Yeah.
That started in like 1974.
Yeah.
But they didn't show anything before, you know? So, but yeah, I'll send you that one, Deborah. You should watch it.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
Can I ask you guys one more question?
You bet.
A Canada question.
Yeah.
Is Justin Trudeau Fidel Castro's son?
Fuck yeah.
You think so?
I do.
Yeah, probably. I do. I think so for sure.
Darren probably doesn't.
He'd be browner.
He's a halfsy though. He's half white.
I'm a halfsy too. I'm browner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think he is.
Yeah.
I'm not half Cuban though, so I have to say.
Yeah.
There's a great clip from No Agenda of his mom saying, "Eat kale." I don't know if you've heard that or not. Oh, it's
kale.
Yeah, eat kale.
Yeah. Oh. His mom used to get around. So
Justin Trudeau's mom?
Yeah. She was banging Fidel Castro and Mick Jagger, a bunch of the Rolling Stones, I think. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I might have to retract that statement on the next episode, but that's what I've heard. And you should look at pictures, Deborah. They're strikingly resemble each other.
I will. Yeah.
But yeah, let's wrap it up, guys. Thank you so much for doing this with us. I really appreciate it. And
thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. Nice to meet you, Deborah.
Nice to meet you all also.
And I'm really looking forward to your Tartaria stuff. So yeah, do you want to tell everybody where they can find you real quick?
You can find pretty well everything at growamerica.ca. There's links to everything we do from there.
Awesome. Well, good luck with everything, guys. And we will talk somewhere down the road. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Bye.